Lesson 3. Focus. How do people who live in cities and on farms and ranches depend on one another? Main idea. Read to find out how products from the Middle West have added to people's interdependence. Vocabulary. Entrepreneur. Free enterprise. Demand. Supply. Meatpacking. Farms, ranches, and cities. Cities are very different from places in rural areas. However, people who live and work in cities and on farms and ranches share something. They all depend on one another. Linking farms and cities. For years, farmers east of the Mississippi River sent their goods by train to markets in cities. People in cities depended on farmers to sell them food. Many factories in the cities depended on other farm products. They needed raw materials, such as cotton, wool, and leather from farms. They used those raw materials to make goods. Farmers, in turn, depended on workers in the cities. Without city workers, farmers would not have had manufactured goods and other supplies. Trains brought these things to the farms from factories in the cities. Over time, railroad tracks spread west through the Great Plains. Building railroad tracks on the prairie was much easier than building them in the east. On the prairie, there were fewer hills or trees to get in the way, and there were no cities to connect. However, the steam engines that pulled the trains needed water, so railroad tracks usually followed rivers. As the railroads spread west, new cities sprang up along the tracks. Among them were Omaha, Nebraska, and Topeka, Kansas. Review. How did trains link farms and cities? Ranching on the Great Plains. Railroads connected the Great Plains with cities in other parts of the country, but they did much more. Railroads also helped an important ranching industry grow on the Great Plains. In what is today southern Texas and northern Mexico, ranchers had been raising cattle for many years. Thousands of longhorn cattle roamed the grasslands there. Longhorns came from cattle Spanish settlers had brought to the Americas. When the Spanish first came to the Americas, there were no cattle or horses here. Christopher Columbus brought some with him to the Caribbean. Later, Spanish settlers brought cattle and horses to Mexico. From there, cattle ranching spread northward into Texas and the southern Great Plains. People in the East were eager to buy beef, and they were willing to pay a lot of money for it. In the East, ranchers could get 10 times as much money for their cattle as they could get in Texas. However, there was no good way to get the cattle from Texas to the East. That changed once the railroads reached the Great Plains. In Abilene, Kansas, a cattle trader named Joseph McCoy built stockyards near the new railroad. Then, in 1867, he sent word to Texas that he would buy herds of cattle. In great cattle drives, ranchers moved their cattle to McCoy's stockyards. From there, the cattle were loaded into railroad cars and shipped to markets in Chicago and other cities. Several cattle trails led from Texas through Oklahoma north to the railroads in Kansas, Nebraska, and Missouri. The most famous of these trails was the Chisholm Trail. It went to Abilene and Ellsworth, Kansas. Other trails led to Sedalia, Missouri, Dodge City, Kansas, and Ogallala, Nebraska. Cattle ranching spread north across the Great Plains. Today, ranching is a leading industry in all the Great Plains states. Ranching is most important where the land is too rough or too dry for farming. Both cattle and sheep graze on those lands. Review. How did railroads help the cattle industry? Biography. Nat Love, 1854 to 1921. Nat Love was one of the thousands of cowhands who worked in the great cattle drives from Texas. Love was born a slave in Tennessee, but he moved west to Dodge City, Kansas after the Civil War. There he became an expert rider and roper. Love worked in cattle drives until 1889. Building new businesses. Other businesses grew on the Great Plains, too. Some were started by farmers. Mills in the East did not like to grind the hard winter wheat that grew so well on the Great Plains, so farmers on the Great Plains built their own flour mills. These farmers were entrepreneurs. An entrepreneur is a person who sets up a new business. In the United States, a person is free to become an entrepreneur. Having the right to start a new business is an important part of free enterprise. Free enterprise is a kind of economy in which people own and run their own businesses with only limited control by the government. In some countries, governments tell owners exactly how they must run their businesses. Governments tell them what to make and how much to charge. In the United States, however, business owners decide those things mostly on their own. A free enterprise economy means freedom to do well in business. It also means freedom to fail. A Great Plains farmer who tries to grow oranges will fail because orange trees cannot live through the region's cold winters. A business owner who specializes in iron plows will not stay in business either. There is little demand for iron plows today. A demand is a desire for a good or service by people who are willing to pay for it. To do well, a business must offer goods or services that people want to buy. A good or service that a business offers for sale is called a supply. The cattle that a rancher offers for sale are a supply. The service of grinding wheat in exchange for money is a kind of supply, too. The supply of a good or service usually rises or falls to meet the demand. This means a business will produce more of something if customers want to buy a lot of it. If customers do not want to buy very much of something, a business will produce less of it. Review. In a free enterprise economy, who makes most of the decisions about a business? Businesses and transportation. The Middle West is rich in natural resources. Large forests cover much of northern Michigan, Wisconsin, and Minnesota. Minnesota also has one of the largest iron ore deposits in the world. South Dakota has the largest gold mine in the country, and Missouri is a leading producer of lead. Several states in the Middle West region have large amounts of coal and oil. Cities in the Middle West have many of the same kinds of businesses as cities in other regions. Other businesses are in the Middle West because they use products that nearby farmers and ranchers supply. These businesses do not have to pay for shipping the products over long distances. Flour mills, for example, are in several cities in the Middle West. In other cities, workers use corn and wheat to make cereals. The raising of cattle has helped another important industry grow in the Middle West region, meatpacking. Meatpacking is the preparing of meat for market. It is a leading business in several Middle West states. Makers of farm machinery and other industries that supply products to ranchers and farmers started businesses in the Middle West to be near farmers. Today, those industries are still adding to the economies of such states as Iowa and Nebraska. Regardless of their locations, all businesses need to transport their goods and services. As in the past, railroads still connect ranches and farms to cities. Today, however, many people send goods to markets on roads. Every day, trucks use the nearly 4 million miles, 6 million kilometers of roads in the United States to deliver goods to markets. Review. Why are certain businesses likely to be in cities in the Middle West? Lesson 3 Review. Check understanding. 1. Remember the facts. How were railroads important to the early cattle industry in the Middle West? 2. Recall the main idea. How have products from the Middle West added to people's interdependence? Think critically. 3. Cause and effect. How did railroads cause cattle ranchers and people in cities in the East to become more dependent on one another? 4. Think more about it. Why does a free enterprise economy give you more choices about what to buy and where to buy it? Show what you know. Table activity. Divide a sheet of paper into two halves. Label one half farms and ranches. Label the other half cities. On the first half, list ways farmers and ranchers depend on people in cities. On the second half, list ways people in cities depend on farms and ranches. Map and globe skills. Follow routes on a road map. 1. Why learn this skill? At some time, nearly everyone has to use a road map. A road map shows routes between places. A route is a path from one place to another. Road maps give other important information too. They show the locations of many cities and towns. They also show physical features such as mountains, major bodies of water, and forests. Many road maps show where to find parks, museums, and other points of interest. 2. Kinds of highways. Road maps use differently colored lines to stand for the different kinds of highways that connect places. The number of each highway is printed inside a symbol. Each kind of symbol also stands for one kind of highway. Knowing the different kinds of highways helps you choose good routes. The map key for the roadmap of Kansas on page 289 shows an interstate highway. Inter means between or among. An interstate highway is a highway that goes through more than one state. Interstate highways are wide, divided highways that connect large cities. They usually do not have stoplights, so people can use them to travel long distances quickly. The map key shows other kinds of highways too. Like an interstate highway, a United States highway goes from state to state. However, United States highways often have stoplights and lower speed limits. They may or may not be divided highways, but they usually are wider than state highways. State highways connect places in one state. This map key shows a toll highway. A toll highway, or toll road, is a road that drivers must pay to use. The toll road shown on the Kansas road map is called the Kansas Turnpike. Parts of Interstate Highways 35, 335, and 70 use the same route as the Kansas Turnpike. 3. Understand the process. Suppose a truck driver needs to take wheat flour from a mill in Hutchinson to a market in Salina. What route should the driver take? Use the road map to find the highways and the directions. Follow the numbered steps. 1. Use the map index and grid to find Hutchinson and Salina. 2. Find the highways that connect the two cities. 3. Choose the best route if there is more than one. The best route may be the shortest one, the one that uses wider highways, or the one that has fewer stops. 4. Describe the route. What highway should the truck driver use to leave Hutchinson? In which direction should he or she go? What highway should the driver use then? In which direction should he or she go? 4. Think and apply. Find two places on the map of Kansas. Then, on a sheet of paper, describe a route that connects those places. Be sure to name the highways and the direction to be traveled on each one. Give your paper to a classmate. See if your classmate can follow the route you described. Lesson 4. Focus. How are plains regions around the world alike, and how are they different? Main idea. Read to find out how the Pampa of Argentina is similar to and how it is different from the plains of the Middle West. Vocabulary. Gaucho. Estancia. Plains around the world. Plains stretch across much of the Middle West region of the United States. They hug the Atlantic and Gulf coasts, too. Plains are also found in many other places around the world. In fact, plains are the Earth's most common landform. Other plains regions. No matter where they are, all plains are broad, mostly flat lands. Not all plains regions are alike, however. Depending on their location and climate, plains can be very different. Some plains, like the coastal plain in the United States, lie along coasts. Others, like the Central Plains and the Great Plains, stretch through a continent's interior. The soil of some plains is fertile. Other plains have poor and rocky soil. Some plains have thick forests, while others have almost no trees. People everywhere have found ways to use the resources and physical features of plains. In the United States, people mostly use plains for farming and ranching. But many of the largest cities in the United States are built on plains, too. In many other parts of the world, plains are also places for farms, ranches, and cities. In fact, most of the world's plains are used to grow food. Many of the world's largest cities are also on plains. Review. How do people around the world use plains regions? The Pampa. A girl wakes early to the sounds of the ranch coming to life. She rises and looks out her window. For as far as she can see, a sea of grass stretches west across a broad plain. This plain is the Pampa. The Pampa is in the country of Argentina in South America. In Spanish, the word Pampa means level land. Like the coastal plain in the United States, Argentina's Pampa stretches inland from the Atlantic Ocean. Then it spreads west for hundreds of miles toward the Andes Mountains. In 1912, an American scientist named W.J. Holland traveled across the Pampa. He wrote, "I have crossed the prairies of Minnesota and the Dakotas, of Kansas and Nebraska, but in none of them have I seen such absolutely level lands." Summers on the Pampa are hot and winters are generally mild. Places on the Pampa receive different amounts of rain. The amount of rain decreases from east to west. In the east, moist air blows in from the Atlantic Ocean. This causes a humid climate. To the west, the Andes Mountains block moist Pacific winds from reaching the Pampa. As in the interior plains of the United States, the western half of the Pampa is much drier than the eastern half. The western Pampa is too dry for many trees to grow. Instead, short grasses cover the ground. This is grazing land for cattle and sheep. Review. How does the Pampa's climate change from east to west? Farming and ranching. If you were crossing the Pampa, you might think you were in the heartland of the United States. Like the interior plains, the Pampa has some of the world's richest soil. Wheat is the leading crop on the southern and western Pampa, where the land is drier. Corn grows well on the northern and eastern Pampa. Much of this wheat and corn is exported to other countries. There is one big difference between farming on the Pampa and farming on the interior plains. The growing season in Argentina is from December to March. This is because Argentina lies south of the equator. Everywhere in the southern hemisphere, the seasons are the opposite of ours. The Pampa and the interior plains share more than similar landforms, climate, and crops. They also share a gift from history, horses and cattle. Spanish settlers brought horses and cattle to the Pampa, too. Cattle once roamed the Pampa by the millions. They grazed on its thick grasses. Following the herds of cattle rode the gauchos. Gauchos were skilled riders who lived on the open land of the Pampa. They hunted the cattle for food and hides. In the late 1700s, government leaders began to give away large areas of land on the Pampa to their powerful friends. Along with the land went the cattle on it. The new owners started estancias, or large ranches. The estancias covered thousands of acres. Gauchos were no longer free to ride the Pampa in search of cattle. Today, estancia owners hire gauchos to care for their cattle. Gauchos are now ranch hands. They often live with their families in small houses on the estancias instead of on open land. Their way of life has changed. However, gauchos remain an important part of Argentina's heritage. Poems and songs about the gauchos tell of the free life on the Pampa in days gone by. Cattle ranching is an important part of Argentina's economy, too. Cattle have been raised on the Pampa for hundreds of years. With the invention of refrigerated ships in the late 1800s, beef became one of Argentina's chief exports. Refrigerated ships made it possible to ship meat over long distances. Today, Argentina's cattle herds help feed the world. Buenos Aires is Argentina's capital and largest city. Located on the Pampa, it has always served as a main port for shipping exports. Both meatpacking and food processing are leading industries in Buenos Aires. Review. How is farming on the Pampa different from farming on the interior plains? Lesson 4 Review. Check understanding. 1. Remember the facts. How are plains around the world important to people? 2. Recall the main idea. How is the Pampa of Argentina similar to, and how is it different from, the plains in the Middle West? Think critically. 3. Cause and effect. Different parts of the Pampa receive different amounts of precipitation. How has this affected the ways people use the land? Link to you. Argentina's seasons are the opposite of ours. If our seasons were the same as Argentina's, how would that affect when you or other people in your state do things? Show what you know. Art activity. Draw a picture showing ways in which people in Argentina use the Pampa. Then, write a caption for your picture. In the caption, tell how the uses of the Pampa are like or unlike the uses of the interior plains. Share your finished picture with your classmates. Chapter 8 Review. Connect main ideas. Use this organizer to show that you understand how the chapter's main ideas are connected. Complete it by writing 2 details about each main idea. A copy of the organizer appears on page 63 of the activity book. Write more about it. Compare past and present. Imagine that you could climb aboard a time machine and travel back to the 1800s. Tell how the farms and farming methods that you see are different from the farms and farming methods today. Explain what you would have done. Railroad companies gave away land on the Great Plains to get more people to settle there. Write a paragraph explaining why you would or would not have accepted a railroad's offer of free land. Use vocabulary. For each group of terms, write a sentence or two that explains how the terms are related. 1. Prairie, sod. 2. Drought, blizzard, tornado. 3. Entrepreneur, free enterprise. 4. Demand, supply. 5. Gaucho, estancia. Check understanding. 6. Which region usually receives lesser amounts of rain, the Central Plains or the Great Plains? 7. Why did many settlers on the Great Plains use sod to build their homes? 8. Why did pioneer families need to be self-sufficient? 9. Why do farmers often add fertilizers to the soil? 10. What is urbanization? 11. Why are plains regions important to many people around the world? Think critically. 12. Linked to you. How does your family depend on farms on the interior plains? 13. Think more about it. Why might it be more difficult for people to be self-sufficient today than in the past? 14. Cause and effect. How did the invention of the reaper, thresher, and steel plow affect American farms? Apply skills. Read pictographs. Use the pictograph on page 276 to answer these questions. 15. Which state grows more wheat, North Dakota or South Dakota? 16. About how much wheat is grown in Nebraska? Identify time patterns. Find a newspaper article that tells about a sequence of events. Cut out the article and paste it onto a sheet of paper. Then, circle any words or dates that helped you identify the sequence. Under the article, list the events in the order in which they took place. Follow routes on a roadmap. Using a roadmap of your state, describe a route from your city or town to the state capital. If you live in the state capital, describe a route from your city to another city in your state. Read more about it. Sodbuster by David Tote, Lerner Publications Company. This book contains excerpts from letters and newspaper articles that illustrate pioneer life on the interior plains. Visit the internet at http://www.hbschool.com for additional resources.